is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I'm sitting in with you today, and I've been able to get Johnny Cake and Shanice to stay in studio with us for a little longer. I got some questions I want to ask them, especially Shanice, because sometimes we don't hear from women in the industry, right? And when we talk about where are all the female vocalists, how do I find them, right? Are they playing with bands? And what that landscape is like? Now, we don't have much time, so we can push it along. I get more questions from Johnny Cake. And Johnny Cake, the people say they want to hear you sing something. They want you to put something down. But I open the show with a song called Meant to Be by Casper, and I am going to featuring Dosha and Mavia, right? And I play this for the text to say, man, the music you playing is racy, right? And I play some old music from young people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That old R&B style, right? So we got a full catalog of music. Wait till y'all hear Run That Again by Lamont, mm-hmm. Right? That gonna be my, if I start a political party, if ever I run in a campaign, that could be my theme song.
Right there.
Don't run that. If you don't know me, don't run that. Yeah, right. BRB, don't come back. I coming right back. You don't come back. Yeah? So anyway, that was Casper and Dosha and Mavia. I tell you, we got Bahamians creating all kinds of music. So for the first segment, we're going to continue this conversation with Johnny Cake and Shanice. And then in the second segment, we're going to get into some open line, hear what the callers have to say. So, producer, the caller here. Let's see if this caller here, the caller been here for a little while. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green.
Morning.
Man, I was trying to get on from the way show.
I got you. Well, you're here now.
Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I caught the first time I ever heard a song, Old Head.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, I catch a ride with an elder in my church.
Mm-hmm.
One Sunday morning, he was playing that song.
Mm-hmm.
I say, what is this you're listening to? Say, boy, I write a sermon on this song.
Okay.
And I laugh because I remember with Dr. Hall, with Staggily and Billy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I try to figure out how you know all of them, the thing with Staggily. So he had to listen to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And this man, my friend, whenever he's telling me whenever he's preaching that he can let me know.
Okay.
So, Ms. Green, I got to let you know so you could invite this gentleman to church that Sunday to hear his song in a sermon.
Okay. I'm glad it was a male elder.
But in closing, I always thought the woman had something else in her bride. Never know she had $1,000 till the elder started singing the song.
Well, you don't want to know what else she has. See, if you want a good side, you'll see the $1,000. If you want a bad side, you don't want to know what else she have inside the bra.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I hear the song, but I like the rhythm of it. See, my problem is,
mm-hmm.
I don't really listen to the words.
Mm-hmm. You can listen.
I open up my eye to listen, because then I hear the elder man be going to church and the man playing the song.
Mm-hmm.
Think you writing a sermon or not?
Yeah.
I say, wow, that's dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah, I said a lot of the old women in the church, you notice now, looking at the younger boys and taking care of the younger boys. So I guess all that inspired him to.
Yes.
You know, but trust me, Miss Green, whenever he need him kind of clothes. So whenever he decides he can do that, whichever Sunday that is, I would let you know that Thursday or Friday before.
And I can reach out.
With Johnny Cake so he can come and visit the church.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
It'd be like your song being played on Bay Street by Junk and the Group.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I believe that is some of the, as an entertainer, Johnny Cake, do you think that'd be one of your most thrilling moments to hear a Junk and the Group playing one of your songs?
Of course. That's one of the heights. That's one of the most exciting things you could have as an artist here in the Bahamas to hear and to know that because a junk, because remember, that is a competition.
Yes.
And they felt as though that your song is one of those songs that could help them win this competition that the whole Bahamas is watching. People are judging. People from around the world coming to see. That is like one of the top honors you could have as a Bahamian musician, yeah.
But I think this sermon, I don't judge preaching, but I think this sermon will top Stag Lee versus Billy.
I got you.
I it's coming.
I love it. You have a pastor that is speaking to the experiences of the people in this church. He knows what they're listening to. He knows what's informing their lives, and he knows their stories because the music reflects their stories. I mean, Johnny K, in the break, I was talking about the value of shame, right, and the dangers of misplaced shame, right, and a song like Old Head, right, what it does is it allows us to examine ourselves, and it allows us to say, oh, you know what? Hold on. That's what was happening over there in that corner. I didn't know, right? And then we could determine, okay, I don't like it, and I don't want that what happening over there to happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or the people say, okay, I understand.
What is it? What it is?
Yeah, I understand, right? Like the life circumstances brought these people together.
Mm-hmm.
But I could imagine the reason why he is going to write a sermon about it is because we have this increase in what we call cougar culture.
Culture.
Older women preying on younger men, right? What they say, fair exchange is no robbery, relationships are transactional, but then there are instances where the power difference is so great in the relationship that it even if they both consented, it is just too problematic, right? And it becomes dangerous. So a song like Old Head allows us to enables us to hold these stories up and examine them, sort of take them away from ourselves and examine them, and so that the shame doesn't cripple us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And through this vehicle, we could examine this aspect of our culture and determine whether we want to change it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can tell you one thing, though. Most of the young men who are in that situation, they ain't going to want to change. They are happy. A lot of them, when you speak to a lot of them, they're like, listen, because you have a lot of younger men out there now because they're feeling as though, you know, it's be this thing. And I just don't believe it to the full extent. Mm-hmm. They just be like, man, these younger guys, none of them making sense. Of course, I know true. But it's because when they come to one with more experience, who already been through certain things, who already probably got healed from certain trauma and just looking for some excitement and want someone who could listen and just talk and they could say, listen, this is what it is, then they're not gonna stray away from that. It's like you have someone who could help you get up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you are a young man that's making sense.
Mm-hmm.
You have someone who could help you get it. You might have a little bit of money, pension coming in on time. She got a good job.
But
and
then,
she said, you know.
But then there are the dangers, right? Let's go to the caller and then we just touch on the dangers. Good morning, caller.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Boy, Johnny K came and will tell you the truth. It's that BPL bill.
Yeah, boy.
That BPL bill, would that be doing something strange for PCP?
Oh, Jesus.
That's all. You got a lotion to ankles, man. Come on.
I want you to know from all the way back to Eight Babies by George Simonet, right? We have been, due to the circumstances and dynamics of this place, we have, many of us have been in transactional relationships where we have committed to treating each other decently and in love in those transactional relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the dangers of it is, and I'm sure this is a part of what the pastor is going to preach on, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a young man, right, and you say, I find someone older than me, and she's settled, and she's making sense, and she understands the world, mm-hmm, right? But as a young man, you're supposed to be finding someone to partner with. But both of you navigate the world and begin, speak cousin speak, and begin to understand the world together through your experiences, right? Mm-hmm. This is when they talk about you gotta be evenly yoked. This is another example of what they're talking about. Because when you are having your experience at 25 for the first time, she done had that experience. It's going to be different having that experience with her than having that experience with another 25-year-old that's having it for the first time, mm-hmm, as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so there are dangers to these unevenly yoked and unbalanced relationship, right? And so there's some dangers to it as well. I've met a couple of big daddies, right? No, but fortunately, I carry my mother's face. Uh-huh. And for people who knew my father, I carry his face, right? Mm. I was in a bar shooting pool, and the gentleman asked me, he said, oh, you was a good pool shooter. You want something to drink? And I said, I'll take a ginger ale. Mm-hmm. He looked at me and said, you're drinking with me? I don't buy no ginger ale. And I look at him, dead odd. I look at him. I said, but sir, I'm a hot hasty Tynes. I don't drink rum. Mm-hmm. And he look at me, he say, he was Bernie Green daughter. Buy that girl ginger ale.
Yeah, similar as that.
They changed the whole thing. He say, oh, wait, I know your daddy. I can't be your big daddy. I can be your uncle.
Godfather.
Right. Community shifts the nature of the relationship.
Very true.
Yeah. Right?
And so, this is why, cousin, speak. I know you want to speak. Go on, get in.
So I'm so happy that you said it, because inside of this culture, we now have a lot of young men that don't understand. I'm going to step on some toes. I'm going to be the one to
go ahead, man.
Take the conversation to controversial topic. But a lot of these young men nowadays don't want to be men. They want to be boys. They want to be taken care of. And when you have an old head, you have someone who's not your mother, who's going to be, like they said, paying the bills and spoiling you and getting you that Rolex and taking you so you could get the whatever it is that you want, the Nike, the Jordans, the whatever, the traveling, whatever you want. You want to be spoiled. But a lot of these men, when they come from that experience and then they start looking at the younger women and they're saying, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful, I have to have her for myself, then they're suddenly shocked when she's expecting for them to be a man to start leading. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be expecting him to be the one paying the bills and taking care of everything, because realistically, a woman's purpose inside of a man's life, a man is supposed to bring the foundation. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be the outside of the house, you know, the walls, the foundation, everything, the windows, the doors. He is the protection. He keeps everyone safe. The entire family is supposed to be inside of him. He is supposed to be that strength.
Yes.
And then she makes the home. She starts outfitting the inside of the home. So she takes care of the inner part of life. He takes care of the outside.
Right.
So he's supposed to be the provider. He's supposed to be taking care of everyone within the family.
And she's supposed to make the best of the provision and maximize it.
She's supposed to pour into the mind, the heart, the soul. She's supposed to cultivate all of that. She's supposed to show him that you are a king. So she's supposed to bring the best out of him, inspire him to become who he's meant to be. So these men, a lot of times when they say, oh, the women nowadays aren't making sense, what they really mean is she is not willing to pay
to do a lot.
I'm willing to pay. She's not willing to go 50-50.
So we're having an interesting conversation about this. Like, what does 50-50... Mm-hmm. Well, okay, what does 50-50 mean if you're not taking into account that I make in the babies?
My God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, how do we balance the 50-50?
I don't think there is a 50-50. It all depends on, like, it really depends on what's happening in life at the time, and depends on what you set up in your partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, if you are a couple, if you're a serious couple that's making sense, there's going to be a certain partnership that doesn't always stay in the lines of, okay, half of that is just you, half of that is just you, because certain things and certain boundaries, things happen.
Right.
This month it might be 60-40 or whatever's against me because of how your partnership is set up. There's no way, as a man, there are specific things that you know you're supposed to do.
Right.
You know you have to specifically provide when you're in a leadership seat. Oh,
right.
You understand? So, of course, sometimes if your woman falls short, you as a man really can't...
I made my 50%.
You understand? Trip out and be like, but now as a woman, you got to remember now you still have his back. And if still you got to catch yourself, if you get a chance to catch yourself, and hey, I got you now. I got you. I said we still partners because we ain't want to ship this ink.
Right. The people say it's not 50-50. It's 100-100. And I know sometimes you can't put in 100.
You can't.
Right. And sometimes I can't put in 100. Right. But I can catch what you can't catch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like you say, it is what people decide. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so look here. That's why it's so important to talk before you start having sex. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to meet parents and meet family before you start engaging in sexual intimacy, because babies don't care. Children cry, but yet they come. Okay. They don't care about what you had planned, right?
And that's the point. A lot of people like to forget that part, that when you get into a relationship, inevitably, at some point, what's going to happen is she's going to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there are going to be children involved.
Yes.
And regardless of how a man feels about the situation, when that child is born, like you said, that child isn't going to understand, well, you know, daddy was, he was doing this and he was doing that, but, you know, I'm hungry now. No, that child is going to cry because that child only understands, I feel hunger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then what's supposed to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why that, like you said, having the conversation, and there was something that was said earlier in this conversation that I feel is so important, not being unequally yoked. Miles Monroe already identified that before a man can get into a serious relationship, he has to be stable.
Yeah.
That means you look at Adam, where God placed him in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had to go through all the animals first. Name all the animals. Make sure he named everything within the garden before Eve was even brought into the equation. It was after going through all of them and he was looking for his mate, his pair, that he said, I don't see anyone that's like me.
I could be honest with you. I told God, I said, God, let's see what Adam could do. I was awake, you know, but I was hiding. I said, God, let's see if Adam can handle this by himself before you put me on the job. I want to see, because maybe he could do it by himself. Yeah. We could try.
Mm.
I love that perspective. Let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to... Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning, how are you?
Man, you got me laughing, man. Anyway. I mean, just sharing will come out of your mouth, you know that? I say, man. Anyway, I think it's supposed to be 110, 110.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 110,
it's 110. Like all in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's like you jumping out of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the parachute don't open.
Yeah.
You jumping for it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, now, you know, one of the things I've been married for like 4 decades now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, one of the things I understand that even though she is the weaker vessel, it's the man who has to be the softer in terms of being able to give and take more than her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, because if he is leading, it all comes, you know, when, if you're giving 110, and somebody in that union stumbles, it's much easier for the other partner to help them back up on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope this conversation kind of continues, you know, but I was kind of first taken, you know, early in the thing, you know, I think what says I'm an ugly man is a devil. Listen here. I believe that's going to start a whole movement, you know.
Just don't let them in on the secret, man.
No. That could start a whole movement.
Yes.
It really can.
Listen here, man. See, if there's one thing you need right now that a ugly man brings, he brings
stability.
And he brings stability and he brings commitment.
Yeah.
Amen.
And confidence.
Yeah. Listen here, man. you know, if you see a really, okay, a guy we call Ogney, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see him and he in the company of a very, okay, attractive,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to try get the story on how to sell off.
Get, yeah, how he attained this. Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. I actually want to say something I've observed on what each of you talked about. You were talking about, how, you know, the distance between, you know,
the
age bracket, mm-hmm. with the dating, and you talk about how the boys, they want the old heads, mm-hmm. and then you're talking about, you know, how a man should provide. But we was just watching a movie the other day, the first time forever, Baby Boy,
mm-hmm.
and I realized we have an epidemic of baby boys, because I want to talk about the females going for the old heads, because
mm-hmm. the big daddies,
the mm-hmm. big daddies, mm-hmm. because the big daddies, they are leading there and they're masculine, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. why the younger women go for them,
mm-hmm.
because the men nowadays, most men, I'm sorry to say,
young men
nowadays, they're not giving,
they're not being men.
They want to be taken care of.
So I got a text here that says, so women are sugar babies. Who are sugar babies don't want to be women, right? Be balanced with your conversation and stop talking fool. Nobody said that. Nobody excused that, right? I think the same is true, mm-hmm. that when you see a woman in a sugar baby, sugar daddy situation, yeah, no, she does not want to be a mature adult woman. She mm-hmm. does not want to be a woman who can take care of her own needs first, mm-hmm. right? And then rely on a man.
And that's why, right. that's a reason why I brought out those two songs like that,
mm-hmm.
in that time, so you can see, you could really compare the contrast of them, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. it's happening on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you really can't just point fingers, because you could go to some females and try to talk to them. You can't, they wouldn't even bite their eye. They wouldn't even smell your way.
I remember when he called me to the studio,
uh-huh.
and he was like, come to the studio. I was like, okay. And we went there. He was like, I want you to go in the studio, and I want you to sing Big Daddy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I sung it, I was like, Big Daddy. Say, now, hold on now. How about you sing that? How would you sing Big Daddy for real? And I was like, okay, fine. Big Daddy.
He's still getting a big daddy ego, basically.
I appreciate him because mm-hmm. he is shedding light on both scenarios, mm-hmm.
yes.
two different mm-hmm. perspectives. It's both the truth. It's mm-hmm. a situation that we have to deal with as a people.
Mm-hmm.
It's
now,
true.
Producer, so now, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for the texters in particular. Men... Big daddies, this is a patriarchal template,
mm-hmm.
right? Historically, older men married younger women. They mm-hmm. say men die 20 years sooner than women die. Mm-hmm. But this is a patriarchal thing. So the cougar culture is women adopting that same patriarchal behavior,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all that same behavior. This is all bad behavior, mm-hmm. whether it's men or women, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
The problem is it has been... I can't even say normalize the norm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we are moving away from older men and younger women.
Mm-hmm.
Our perspective on women's roles in the community generally, whether you have children or not, you're supposed to be a nurturer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be a mother figure.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be loving on young people that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We don't expect that. And so we're stunned the idea that a woman who is old enough to be a young man or a young woman's mother
mm-hmm.
would seek out sexual and physical intimacy with them in understanding that it could only be transactional
mm-hmm.
and that the weaker or the less in the dynamic could never benefit in this transaction the way that you, the older person, is benefiting in this transaction.
It's messed up. It's very true.
And so are we going to the caller? Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, your lady friend, she ain't being all that honest. I'm telling you this why, right? Because a younger female would date an older guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the older guy would stand a grip. You know what a grip is?
Corn.
5,000.
Plenty.
5,000.
Oh.
That's mm-hmm. 5 rocks. That's 5 bands.
Yeah, 5K.
Yeah, stand a bond. A young boy ain't got a bond.
Yeah.
He barely have $5 in the account.
Yeah.
See, that's the reason why.
I know.
Someone come with you a rock, now you're gone.
But that's, I mean, maybe. A grip, definitely. I go straight to the police station, I can say.
Why would I want a grip if I'm making that myself?
Right.
I'm making that myself, so I disagree with that caller. If I, listen to me, I would go for a young man, an ugly man. I would go with any man, okay, that makes that effort and making sure that I am safe, I'm protected, and I'm loved. That's all everyone wants, you know, love, like genuine love. Like, do you love me even when I get old and wrinkly? Are you going to love me?
And so when you see some of these young men, when so... The young man knows it's transactional. He know he can't live with his boy mommy. He know he that ain't gonna ever happen.
Jesus,
right?
I said it. Oh God.
He knows, right? But something happened. Something has happened to him, right? Like this, he's craving something, and perhaps he's craving a maternal, unconditional something.
So right.
And so he forgets that this is and falls in love in a place where there really is no love to be found.
Most
right?
times.
Anyway, and so once I know we're getting ready to go to a break. I'm not sure if you guys have to leave, but. I'm trying to figure out now how to convince the Ministry of Education and the Ministry and Department of Social Services that we could create a unit to put into the school curricula where guidance counselors, school administrators, and artists, musicians, right, and cultural stakeholders, they put together a unit, a course for students, family life, just how we paired Big Daddy and Old Head and examined them and use the contemporary culture to springboard into these important family life, personal development conversations.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to start things on your own. So I'm pretty sure that if you already start a conversation like this, where there are people who are paying attention to what artists like Johnny would have put, Johnny Cake would have put out there, and you're helping people to realize, okay, you know what? There is a problem inside of our culture. We do need to face this. We do need to address this. And it becomes something that people are having conversations about on a consistent basis. Then that's when the government really starts to pay attention and they'll start doing something towards it. So sometimes you just have to come to them with the idea and show them that people are interested first.
Pilot it and show them the proof. Yeah.
So that they could see, okay, you know what? If I do this, then a lot of people will pay attention to. My administration did this. That's what they pay attention to.
Yeah, you got the social proof.
There's so many stories that can be told from the music. Johnny Cake, when I have you on again, I want to talk to you about the business side, right? I don't want you to give away your business on the air, but I want to talk about why your focus on the business side and the dynamics of making music and making money with music, right? Bohemian Trey, right? I can tell this little quick Bohemian Trey story, right? Bohemian Trey's first song I ever heard, he was singing Chichi Man's song. He was in school, right? The video he made. And so when I saw it, I was a gay rights advocate. We need to be careful about this. And then call it 20 years down the road, right? I say to Bohemian Trey, listen, I wouldn't let an experience you had at 15 singing that song stop me from engaging you, talking to you, or even creating a space for you, right, in this industry or in this sector. I wouldn't never. You're 15. Mm-hmm. Just like Buju Banton, right? We knew that Buju Banton wrote that song, Boom Bye Bye, because of the escalation in sexual violence targeting children. Rape and buggery, right? And so for a 14, 15-year-old boy, that seems like an appropriate response to what he saw happening, right? I'm not mad at that 15-year-old boy for writing that song or performing it. So anyway, Bohemian Trey, right? I'm so glad I wouldn't let a thing like that cancel a Bohemian Trey. Bohemian Trey went viral across the globe for a muggle like me and Abaco.
Abaco, yeah.
Right? Here's why Bohemian Trey went viral. Because luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
And he was so prepared that he didn't even have to be there for this opportunity. So when they first started talking about the TikTok ban, Universal Music Group pulled all the music from TikTok, which left this massive gap of content to make content, right? Music to make content. And Bahamian Trey, muggle like me, was right there.
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Right? And if you remember the clip, the clip that was popular, a light-skinned girl in the leopard print pants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And let me tell you, mulatto, Indo-Caribbean, mixed race, Indo-African, Caribbean women in the Caribbean and in the Caribbean diaspora, they jump on. Mm-hmm.
They eat that up. They eat that up.
Aunties, yes. Them was abaco and I just say in 6 pounds of sugar and a 4 pound sack. Lyrics. I don't understand why the students aren't passing the exams because they got. See, that's the Ministry of Education now calling his parents. Stop talking foolishness, right? But the young people have lyrics. But Bahamian Trey.
Mm.
Preparation met opportunity.
Right.
And our boy went viral.
Yeah, around.
You know? So true. And so when you come back, and I hope you bring Shanice with you again, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'd be trying to get Fanshawn in this. Fanshawn, mm-hmm. I know you working hard.
Yeah, Fanshawn's a good thing.
When she's not on the stage, trust me, she's working hard for mm-hmm. this country.
Yeah, yes. She is.
Right?
She
and is. So we trying to get you in studio as well, Fanshawn, so we could continue. Not just about the music that you make, but about the music that you make.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So to my guest and studio producer, let's prep for a break. Play one song from her, please. I don't know. We played Whip Wap. We played Flora. We play all of these songs. Play another Johnny Cake Man or Ugly Man. Play that. Let me start my weekend off right.
Yeah, the Ugly Man hitting.
When you all have Bible study tonight on Friday night, you all play the song. Prepare these man them, it could be your onslaught.
Oh my God.
This Shanice Ugly Man.
Oh, yeah. You can take the fine one, just leave me with the Ugly Man. Ugly Man is give you ring. Ugly Man is give you things. Ugly Man is make you sing. Ugly Man is good for me. Ugly Man is give me ring. Ugly Man is give you things. Ugly Man is make you sing. Ugly Man is Julie crying, take on with pretty man. Find out they full of drama, can't put nothing in their hand. My ugly man take care of me, see it now we in the lead. Cause just a touch of ugly, that's what I can think you need. Cause haters make sense and dollar. Oh yeah. They know how to make you scream and holler. Ooh. I'll take one for the team, you know what I mean. Ugly man is the one for me. Fine one, just leave me with the
ugly man. Just sign in and have it. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Nothing beats a Chikchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chikchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chikchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit chikchanichallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities. Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Stay close if you don't, yeah. Keep having fun. Keep all the details, I speak private tongue. Tea time is done. If you could see your way out for it's done. Be loud and right, yeah. Stick by your guns. Give back then sit back, the kickbacks begun. This shit's hella fun. If tonight feels like it always a ton. See past the sun.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I've got some texts. I want to read through the text. The text says, good morning, Lady Green and guests. Since the days of Ronnie Butler, Ernest Lassie, Doe Stubbs, and Sir Eddie Minnis, it is so very wonderful to hear of young Bahamian music artists enjoying their productions with enthusiasm. Congratulations, and I celebrate everyone today. Selah from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Here's another text. Johnny Cake songs I like. Ugly Man, Dead Cool. So women who are sugar babies don't want to be women, right? Be balanced with your conversation. Here's another one. Good morning, Aaron. So when older women go after young men, they're called cougars. But when older men go after younger women, they're called predators and dirty old men. So is that a double standard? No, I mean, a cougar is an apex predator, right? If we remember that, that's why we call them cougars, because it's an apex predator. They're preying, they're predators. It's nasty work, it's diabolical, that's what it is, right? There's not a double standard. In fact, we consider older men dating younger women to be normal in this context. We consider older women dating men to be predatory. In both situations, it is extremely problematic if there is an extreme power imbalance. Let's go to the phone line, producer. And we got some of what's in the news. We got a few minutes, 15 minutes left. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Let's go to the caller. There we go. Good morning, caller. Good morning, you're on there.
Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
Can I say, I don't know if I really want to speak out loud, but I've been listening to this discourse on languages, and I just feel like there's an aspect to it that is just not being understood.
Okay. Talk to me.
Okay, so first of all, I'm a certified language teacher that spent my career in France. Learning a language and teaching a language is a specific skill.
Mm-hmm.
These school teachers that are being exposed to students that don't speak the language they teach, they're not qualified language teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not in any the slightest way equipped to deal with that problem in a classroom.
Right.
Okay. Plus, they have numbers. And if we are and have decided that children are allowed, all children must be educated between the ages of 0 years to 11, let's say,
five to 14 years,
all they need to do is create bilingual creches where these children sit and play together and they will speak each other's languages. All this drama is total nonsense. Or they would have to make sure that the Haitian parents' children cannot be admitted until they're able to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that has to be done because the school teacher is not qualified to deal with this problem.
Well, look at in this. I agree with you, right? Yesterday or day before yesterday, I turn your radio down for me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, turn your radio down for me.
Hold on.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know what I mean? It's just
earlier this week, you know, I asked the question or put on the table. Surely, we have kindergarten classes specifically for ESL, English as a second language,
mm-hmm.
students, right? And that we have first grade and second grade classes for specific for ESL students. Because like you say, to be led by language trained teachers, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But as a point I made as well, that if we were willing to actually explore that idea, right, then we would realize that we are teaching to a British standard, but we're actually teaching with the Bahamian standard English, right? So the exam requires an understanding of complex British English, but the teachers are teaching British English using Bahamian standard English to students who don't have British standard English or Bahamian standard English being spoken in the home, right? And so we forget, like you say, the way that we learn language, it's a combination of what's in the class, what's being spoken in the home, and what's being spoken among the peers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've missed is that in terms of the results, you're teaching to the British English standard, but your teachers are speaking Bahamian English standard, and some of them not well, to students in homes that speak neither Bahamian standard English or British standard English, right?
I also need to add, one of the problems that I see here is that the Bahamians, okay, are the only monolinguals in this country, right? So children basically are being brought up to speak Bahamian Creole,
mm-hmm.
the Creole,
right? Because that's what we're speaking in the homes.
They should also be bilingual. They should know by the time they get into school, they should be able to speak standard English and Bahamian Creole.
But listen, hold on. Bahamian Creole, Bahamian standard English, and British standard English.
I don't know if there's a Bahamian standard English.
No, there is. That's what I'm telling you. There is. So there's the British standard English, and then we, mm-hmm. as a sovereign collection of people in a country, we have a Bahamian standard English, and then we have Bahamian Creole, right? And if students mm-hmm. are only experiencing French Creole, Haitian Creole, and Bahamian Creole in the households, and they're only experiencing teachers that speak Bahamian standard English, right? Then what are they to make of a test in British standard English?
Well, our children are having exactly the same problems for all the reasons you mentioned.
And so I got to go to the next caller.
Okay.
But thank you very much for your contribution.
You're welcome.
And that's the point I was making. If we were prepared to practice empathy and examine this problem that we think is a Haitian-only problem, we would realize that the particular dynamic in the school also impacts negatively, right, the Bahamian students as well. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller.
Hello, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. I love the lady and love what she's saying, but one of the things I hate about the airwaves is the critical thinking, right, in which you have to listen to diverse opinions and then have a deductive reasoning. You know, you listen to others and then you form a conclusion and just get rid of the cognitive biases or whatever, right?
Because mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it in a wider scope, right?
Mm-hmm.
This dilemma that we have. So Belinda Wilson said it's challenging. Somebody else said it's not a big problem. But no one seems to be one addressing the weaponization of the language barrier, like the students, the animosity that exists that we are seeing. But mm-hmm. nobody wants to address the real situation, which in the national security concerns also you're saying we have a right to educate them, but Sea Island also highlighted that it shouldn't be free. Just, you know, on the onus of the Bahamian people. We're not even representing ourselves because we are our worst enemy. But the question for me then becomes is that, Ms. Green, is wouldn't this compound the already potential for a parallel society, Ms. Green? I just hang up and listen. That's all I'm saying because, I mean, you have the shanty towns. They live in isolation. And then we're turning a blind eye as to how they could end up here not even being able to speak a lick of English. I know a friend of mine who said he was born in Freeport, but his father never came here. That means his mother actually came on the boat with him pregnant. But he didn't realize. He disclosed that to me over the period of years that I've known him. So he's a Bahamian. So he brought his daughter here. She doesn't speak. She's now learning to speak English, but she goes to a preschool. And so what I'm saying is, you know, this dilemma, you know, who's responsible for this?
I tell you all who...
Let me just finish and I'll go. Even if they implement a school for themselves, as I see they have a Haitian school in Centerville, et cetera, you know, who's responsible for writing their curricula? Would they adhere to our curricula?
Of course, all schools...
Let's hang up and listen.
All right, so all schools are required to submit... I think it's NACOG. All schools are required to submit curricula for oversight. But I wanted to say, let's prep the next caller. We have parallel societies already. We have lots of them. And guess what? The problem is Bahamians don't want to be Bahamian. They don't want to do the hard work of being Bahamian. We have plenty of parallel societies right now, right? I don't think, though, that teaching English, ensuring that students know basic English before they enter school is going to create a parallel society. The second point I already told you, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the chairman of the PLP party, and the MP for Fox Hill has explained, right? They, all three of them have explained that what the reasons are. And he said it. We need to expand the labor pool. We need to expand the... tax base, and we need to expand the genetic base, right? That was the response that was given. And all I'm telling people is, so frame your next question, your next intrigue, your inquiry to the government, frame it using the language that they gave you and ask them to speak to what that means. Teaching students English before they go into school, I don't think is going to create a parallel society. But we love parallel societies. We love them. They exist here. And we would rather spend money pretending to be a part of a parallel society in the country than spend money that divert those same resources to hospitals, to schools, to libraries and museums, to parks. We have committed our resources to disposable personal experiences, many of which are just illusionary, as opposed to diverting it to collective national development. Good morning, caller.
Erin Green, I see you got 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what some patients, I have patient friends, they will send their children to a school, and if it still exists, a Haitian school that teach them English, turn English,
mm-hmm.
before they enter into the private or public school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we could introduce something like that in the preschool.
Right. I've been trying to figure out why can't we create specific ESL, English as a second language, classes
right.
at the kindergarten level.
Right.
But see, I can tell you, we don't care about the kindergarten level because they got one popular liquor store right mm-hmm. next to the kindergarten on East Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, and y'all, you was right with that lady who called earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You were so right. There's a thing called Bahamian Creole.
Miss Bahamian Creole, Bahamian Standard English and British Standard English.
Yes. There's a book written on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a hold of the book, Google it. There's a lovely Bahamian. She wrote a book on it.
Absolutely.
She did a good job.
Thank you very much. I'm going to try and find that. Here's the text. The question is, why is it that a small nation like us promotes a parallel society? How will that benefit us? You didn't comment on the weaponizing of the French, and it is now visible. Okay. So you're saying they're weaponizing French or the Haitian Creole because they're speaking it in spaces where they know Bahamians can't speak it and understand it? I got you. You know, if we're talking about like in schools, bullying, Kids will weaponize anything. Kids will weaponize anything. Just like their parents will weaponize anything. Most of these days, most women these days are very selfish, only thinking about themselves. Erin, this is in the 60s and 70s. Things are very expensive these days. These young women these days are lost. Both individuals should contribute. Well, we got to that point in the conversation, eh? 110%, 110% on each side. LOL, those younger girls want the older men for money and money only. Sometimes you don't know. Some young women are also craving the paternal energy. I don't think either female is new. Either is new. Female royalty for centuries took advantage of younger men because those females too had power. Power is the key ingredient of exploitation. Enter the Bible with the story of Joseph. It's about power. It's not about young people. These things have been happening a long time. That was the point I was trying to make. Miss Green loved the show this morning, showcasing young talent, and there's so much more to showcase. So much more. Are there no benefits to teaching Creole instead of Spanish in our school? There are tons of benefits to speaking. I'm teaching Creole in our schools. Tons of benefits, right? There's just tons of benefit to learning another language. What it does to the learning centers in the brain, it can't be undone. Tech says, do the Bahamians deserve this, Erin? Let me tell you something. Bahamians deserve honesty, transparency, and accountability from its government. And let's start this conversation by demanding our government be clear about its agenda. Don't just let a party chairman come out and say something that should be a national statement. That's the music. That's the end of the show. Y'all tune in. Look at the Tribune. They have one great article about CAPAS, the Creative Arts and Creative and Performing Arts School, welcoming its first 50 students. All out of time. Gotta go. Let's let Judah the Lion take us home.
Sorry. Easily shine when you let them on. Not inside if you let the rain fall. No more time for your innocence. Go break soil for your seed to bring forth. Oh yeah. Memories killing me soft.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.